like to ask you, how many of you here today have a healing need? Would you raise your hand? Keep your hand up. Okay, now what I'd like to know, keep your hand up, is do you know of a, do you have a friend, a relative, a family member? Do you work with somebody or do you know somebody who has a healing need? Raise your hand. Wow, almost, look around, just look around. I mean, almost every hand is up. If you have a healing need, or if you have a friend, a relative, a family member, somebody you work with, that you know anybody who has a healing need. That's what I need, a healing need. So almost every hand, did you notice? Almost every hand went up. And in today's world where we talk about new advances in medicine, we talk about new breakthroughs in technology, new medicines, new procedures. Look at all the people who still have healing needs. Now look at it. Does that astound you? You know, medical assistance keeps getting more and more costly, have you noticed? And we get more and more dependent on drugs and technology. And we call this progress. We somehow think that if we just pop a pill or sedate ourselves or pump ourselves with chemicals or cut parts of our bodies out, that we're somehow healing ourselves. But I think that we've gotten way off track in realizing what healing is all about. Because you just saw the tremendous healing need. We shouldn't have that kind of healing need in today's world. So there's something else going on. Because you just saw that with all the hands going up. Silent Unity, which is Unity's worldwide prayer ministry, 24/7, you can call them anytime, day or night. They say, and they're headquartered at Unity Village outside of Kansas City, Missouri, and they say that they receive more calls and more letters for healing than any other human need. So in the realm of healing, I think we've missed the mark. And yeah, I think we've taken a step backwards and not forwards. Because in Jesus' day, you know, in first century Christianity, was filled with healings. You know, they weren't costly. It was free. And it wasn't dependent on technology. So there was something else going on there. So what I want to do today is take a look at what did Jesus teach us about healing? You know, Jesus taught us that there is a consciousness, an awareness that heals. There's an awareness that in which there's no pain. There's a consciousness in which there is no illness, no cancer, no AIDS, no dis-ease of any kind. And within you and I, there is this consciousness of wholeness, and we need to allow ourselves to experience this healing consciousness. And you noticed I used the word, important word, allow. Because we want to heal our bodies. We have tried again and again to heal our bodies, but I don't think we truly understand what healing is all about. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because we've been so focused on the body, which why not? I mean, it's the body that hurts and has pain and is suffering. You know, we've tried our visualizations, we tried our affirmations and denials, we've tried our all the metaphysical tools and all the spiritual principles we could think of. You know, we have tried to fix our body as if we're fixing a car. I want to let you in on a little secret. God doesn't fix things. God only deals in wholeness. So in spirit, there is something that is so pure and so whole that nothing needs to be done to it at all. Because there's nothing missing and nothing broken. And so what we need to do is to allow from within ourselves to emerge this, in, you know, this a consciousness of healing. A consciousness of wholeness. And we need to step into that and understand what that consciousness is all about. There's a tremendous healing power within us that we have to connect to before any healing can take place. And Jesus told us many, many times how to do that, how to connect to that. He said, strive first for the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And when you do that, all these things will be given to you. He said that as part of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, and so it seems that the healing of the body will be a byproduct, but the first step is to strive first for the kingdom of God. Seek first that consciousness of wholeness. And then the body will follow. Then the body will outpicture that wholeness. I want to share with you an amazing story in the Bible. It's part of the ministry of Jesus. And we're going to look at it metaphysically, because that's how we look at the Bible in unity. We don't look at the literal. You know, I'm going to tell you a story, but it's not the, don't take it literally. Take it as, what does this mean to me? We look at, what is this story pointing to? What is the teaching here that Jesus is trying to get us to understand? How is this story playing out in our life? Because the Bible is really the story of our unfolding consciousness. And so we take a look at the story and we try to find ourselves in the story. So let me set the scene. Jesus is on his way to see a young girl who's the daughter of the leader of a synagogue. And she's very, very sick. In fact, she eventually dies and he raises her from the dead. But that's not the story I'm going to talk about. I'm talking about a story on the way to see this young girl. Jesus is walking down a dusty road and there are people pressing against him. You know, there are people following him, probably hundreds of people following along. And in this crowd is a woman who has had a flow of blood for 12 years. Can you imagine how weak she must be? I mean, if you had any kind of bleeding for any extended period of time, you'd be pretty weak, let alone 12 years. And so just for a moment, take a look in your own life. When have you felt drained or weak? And not necessarily physically. It could be spiritually, mentally. When have you felt just kind of at the end of your rope? And this woman, she's in the crowd. She's weak. And listen to what is going through her head. And I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, starting at verse 25. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. This is one of my favorite translations. A woman who has suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years, a long succession of physicians had treated her and treated her badly. Sound familiar? Taking all her money and leaving her worse off than before. You might know someone like that. She's heard about Jesus. She slipped in from behind and she touched his robe. And she was thinking to herself, if I can just put a finger on his robe, I can get well. The moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change, and she knew her plague was over and done with. If only I could touch his robe, I will be healed. I mean, what incredible faith is that? You know, so she touched the hem of his robe and something happened. She knew it and Jesus knew it. Listen, at the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. And he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said, what are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking, who touched me? Dozens of people touched you. But Jesus kept asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing that she was the one, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him, and gave him the whole story. So, question. Do you think this woman had any idea about what spiritual healing is? Do you think she had any idea about how her body worked? I don't think so. But what about Jesus? Was he even thinking about the woman? No. He didn't even know she was there until she touched him. And so this touch, it was a special kind of a touch. She had this openness and this receptivity about her because she had been sick for a very, very long time. And she had not given up hope. She believed that if she could just touch his robe, if she could just reach out and touch the hem or even a thread of his garment, that she would be healed. And so my question to you is, what was she touching? What was she touching? Was it his clothing? Did he walk around with a magic robe? You know better than that. She was touching a consciousness of wholeness. A consciousness of wholeness. A garment or a robe metaphysically represents consciousness. For those of you who were here Father's Day, and we talked about the parable of the prodigal son, you heard me mention that Jesus wore a white, seamless garment, which means perfection. Perfection. And it symbolizes a consciousness centered in God, the Christ consciousness. So this woman, in her openness and her receptivity, was reaching out and she touched Christ consciousness. And that is what we have to do to have a healing. She touched Christ consciousness, a consciousness of wholeness, and she was healed. That's how powerful the Christ consciousness is. All you have to do is you have to just touch the edge of it. You just have to touch a thread. And it infuses you with its power. So how does this work? The focus is on God. Divine mind, universal energy, and not on the body. Not on the body. We need to lift up our consciousness, lift up our perspective over and above the problem and see from a higher point of view, from the spiritual realm. And when we do that, wonderful things will happen. The same thing that happens when you pray with your chaplains. They're here to support you in prayer every single Sunday. And what they do is they create this sacred space. They really don't do anything. I won't tell them that. But what they do is they hold this sacred, they do a tremendous amount. They hold this sacred space and they invite you into the presence and the energy. But the truth is, each one of us has that ability to make that connection with the spiritual energy that is within us. Charles Fillmore, he said, Charles is a co-founder of Unity with his wife Myrtle. He said, you have a built-in capacity for health. Health, real health, is from within. And he goes on to say, it doesn't have to be manufactured in the without. It is the normal condition of you, a condition that is true to your reality. So there, you have a built-in capacity for health, and health, real health, is from within you. I don't know whether you know it or not, but Unity is founded, the Unity movement is founded on the healing of Myrtle Fillmore. Myrtle, as a young girl, she was told, Myrtle, you will have tuberculosis because everybody in the family has tuberculosis. Myrtle, when you get older, you will die of tuberculosis because everybody in the family has died of tuberculosis. Guess what? Age 40, she was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Surprise, surprise. And she was given 6 months to live. And at this point, she's married to Charles. She's got 3 young children. And she and Charles set out on a journey to find healing. And they went to a New Thought lecture by a Dr. E.B. Weeks. He was a Christian Science practitioner. And she heard this affirmation. I am a child of God. I therefore do not inherit sickness. Isn't that a good one? Let's say that together. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. So if you've been told, well, you've inherited that. No. Who is your father? Not your physical. You have a greater father than that. You do not inherit sickness because your true parent is only whole and perfect. Myrtle took this, and she went into prayer for 8 hours a day for 2 years. What she did was she set up a chair representing a chair for Jesus Christ. She read her Gospels over and over, and then she took this affirmation seriously. And she went inside in meditation, inside her body, into every cell of her being, and she asked forgiveness for thinking that it was less than whole and perfect. She spent 8 hours a day for 2 years. Now, we sit in prayer for 10 minutes and we say, didn't work. 8 hours a day for 2 years, Myrtle spoke to the life force within her body. And after 2 years, 8 hours a day in prayer, Myrtle was healed of tuberculosis. She lived until she was 86. Myrtle connected with that life, universal life force within her. She connected with that consciousness of wholeness, and she was healed. Not cured, but healed. Huge difference. You know, when you're cured, your symptoms go away, but the illness can come back. When you're healed, it's done at the root cause. Healing is done in consciousness. And the outer condition may or may not change. Please hear that. Healing, you may not see anything in the outer. That's different. But the healing happens in consciousness. People can be healed and still die. We're talking two different things, consciousness and body. So healing happens in consciousness. And so our work is not with the body. Hear that. Work is not with the body because we are whole. We are spiritual beings. We're not this flesh and blood. Eric Butterworth, Unity minister and author, wrote this in one of the best books on prayer, I think ever, The Universe is Calling. He says, there is a pattern within each of us that is perfect wholeness. Always, always the healing potential is present. And then he goes on to say, we need to turn away from the appearance of a sickly condition and become centered in the awareness of the law of our wholeness. This is the basis of spiritual healing. And so if you focus on the body, you won't allow the emergence of your spiritual nature. But if associated with body consciousness is pain and death. Do you agree? We all know that. Let's not focus there. Let's not focus on that. Let's instead lift our consciousness to a higher place, to the spiritual realm, to the absolute realm. And that's a different place. Because as I said, our work is not with the body. Leave that to the doctors and the nurses. And we do believe in that God works through doctors and nurses in Unity. Our job is to allow spirit to lift us to a higher consciousness where there is only God, only divine life, only perfect health, perfection, and wholeness. Winifred Wilkinson Hausman, she wrote in a little Silent Unity pamphlet called The Secret of Healing. She said, Jesus never saw illness. He never accepted the thought of imperfection as real. He didn't see it. And so it wasn't real for him. He saw only the wholeness and perfection within that purpose of person. She goes on to say, he looked right beyond the negative appearance to the reality of wholeness, a perfection that belongs to each one of us. He simply helped people, which is what our chaplains do. He helped people bring God's divine plan for them. Bring forth God's divine plan for them. He helped them to have their own faith in wholeness. And so how can we develop this faith in wholeness? Here are some ideas. Through prayer and meditation, one of the best ways. Sitting still, being quiet, sitting in the silence. Immersing yourself in the consciousness of wholeness. That's all you see. It's all you know. Knowing there's one presence and one power, God, divine life, wholeness. That's all there is. There is no pain or sickness or illness. There is only God. Surrounding yourself with positive life-affirming people, coming to a place like this, where you're surrounded by positive life-affirming people. You know, read. You've got lots of books out there you can take home with you. Read. Come to classes. You know, have your prayer chaplains hold the sacred space for you. Touching the healing life and the energy of spirit and allowing that to flow in and through you. Those are just some of the ways that you can develop that wholeness of faith, that faith of wholeness, that healing consciousness. And so back to the woman who had the flow of blood. Her healing began the minute she made the decision to go see Jesus. I mean, she was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And she said, I'm going to do something about this. And that's when her healing began. After she touched the garment, Jesus said to her, Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well. Be blessed. Be healed of your plague. Beautiful statement. Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well. Live blessed. Prosper. Be healed of your plague. Two key words that Jesus spoke. The first one is daughter. Jesus could have said woman, lady, friend, hey you. But he said daughter. And what does daughter mean? Daughter means a relationship. Daughter, you're part of me. You are of me. Our consciousness has touched. Our souls have touched. You have touched that Christ consciousness, and we're one. The second key word is you. You took a risk of faith. Your faith made you well. Jesus is saying, I didn't do anything. All I did was allowed you, you know, created the environment for you to connect with the healing presence within you to the Christ consciousness, to that consciousness of wholeness. And then the healing happened. You made yourself well. You healed yourself. So go now and be healed of your dis-ease. And so whenever we can raise our vision high and put our faith in wholeness, and when we touch the Christ presence and bask in that consciousness of wholeness in the silence, healings happen. Healings in our body, healings in our mind, healings in our life. Miracles happen. Healings occur. It's faith in wholeness that heals. And so start your healing. Make that healing connection today. God bless you.